A lot of opportunities up here for you folks, a lot of opportunities, but we'll talk about that. I didn't want to emphasize it on a Sunday that we're emphasizing other things and kind of going forward, and so, but we'll talk about that then, and it goes, of course, to a good cause. I want to go to Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through 28, and then I'm going to 2 Samuel 23 in verse 20 and 22. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him and with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, now sons of Zebedee, these are two of the disciples, James and John. And she said, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Now, he said this to the sons because she's asking, can they sit on your left and right hand when you come to your kingdom? So he turns to them and says, "Are you able?" And they said, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared of my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whosoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant." He turned it upside down. He put it on its head. If you want to be great, learn to serve. "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." So that's a nice lesson right there in all of that, a nice package. I want to go to it in a moment. But I want to go down to 2 Samuel 23. This takes another setting. This is another scenario altogether, but it brings up another side to this. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 20. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He had also gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, so he went down to him with a staff, wrested the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did, and won a name among three mighty men. So, first, let my son sit on your right, left and right-hand side when you come to your kingdom. Something that the mother could not even really visualize unless she really was thinking of just simply an earthly throne somewhere nearby. But she just wanted to get in line and say, "I believe these guys are worthy." And they were very worthy men, but she didn't know what she was truly asking for. And then going down to my second reading just gives us a great story of one of David's mighty men who truly was a spectacular man, a warrior that David leaned on a lot. And so this mother's desire from an earthly perspective would greatly limit the hand of God, the power of God, if she got her way. You want to talk about power, about a power that a man would have, the strength that a man would have, that's the guy killing lions. But she wasn't saying, "My sons are powerful." She was just saying, "I want them to be honored. I would like them to get the best seat in the house when you get to the place where you're going to rule." Now, history tells us that her name probably was Salome, and she was very close to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and so she probably grew up or saw him grow up. But she only saw the surface of the kingdom. The greater cause and cost was going to require more than any of them could really see. And that's why he said, you don't understand this right now. And it was actually said that she was likely the midwife of Mary, and she may have been there when Jesus was born. So this would, if this is the fact, and you know, I've read a couple of backgrounds on this, and they seem to agree that she very well could have been this Salome. If this is the case, then perhaps because she was there even when he was a small child, maybe not the birth itself, but there, you know, as to help her out, she may have felt like, I've been here from the very beginning, and I've seen how you've grown up, and I know you've got a call of God on your life. I know who you are. You're God robed in flesh. Maybe she felt like it gave her an inside track. I don't know. But the greater cause and the cost was going to require something that these sons of hers didn't even have in their bank account. The Lord was telling us, you don't know what you're asking for. And you know, she probably saw herself in a position of, I can go to him and make this request. I want to tell you, church, I believe that we live below our means most of the time. I believe that we treat ourselves as perhaps just, we're the ones that hear the sermons and we live for God and we hope good things happen. But one thing I admire about this woman is she was bold enough to say, can my son sit at the best seat that you've got? And he didn't knock her for that. He didn't say, how dare you ask for such a thing. I think we live below our means. We need to ask for things different than what we're asking. We need to aim high and say, Lord, I'm not content with the way my life is. I want something better. I don't mean being more famous and, I'm not trying to get rich. And we know where those things lead. And if God so be, let it happen. But I believe in the kingdom of God, we need to reach higher than we're reaching and not just accept what we are and say, Lord, I'm glad I am here right now, but I want to be greater than this time next year. I want to do greater things than these. Amen. I want to be able to see people healed when I pray for them. And I want to be able to win some souls and see them sitting on the seats of this church. That's what I want from you, Lord. She was just, she didn't know what to ask because she didn't see what we now read all the time. She didn't see the next stages. We see it. And so she was just saying, let my sons be there wherever you're going to be, because they didn't know what was coming next. So honestly, she's not to be discredited for such a request, but she had something going on. I want my sons to have the best that you've got. Lord, I need to kind of quit living below the poverty line and spiritually. I need to say, give me the best that you have. God, give me proof of your will in my life. Begin to speak to me and show me things. There's nothing wrong with praying that prayer. Nothing wrong at all. We need those kind of connections to Jesus. We need personal, intimate situations where we had only him to go to. That's what we need. Lord, when you are the choice, and I make you the choice, you're not plan B. I need you to be my plan one and have only one plan. And I need to persevere until I see something break through. I want to see it break. I want to see your power evidence in my life. You may be going through something right now that God has designed to draw you closer to him, to make you uncomfortable. We don't normally start drawing until we're uncomfortable. We get uncomfortable, then we'll change seats. That's not right for me right here. I'm not comfortable here. We want to do something else. We get uncomfortable, then we start saying, Lord, show me something. But Jesus said, it's not mine to give. Now think about who this was, Jesus Christ. She was talking to the one that she saw as a baby, perhaps. She knew his story. She knew his mother very well. And so we see it from our perspective. She had a different perspective, but he tells her, it's not mine to give. God always deals with us according to our current understanding and our faith. Right. Where we are right now, that's how God deals with us. Amen. He's not going to show you a vision that you're never going to figure out. I used to sit in school and listen to teachers and think, it's going right over my head. You know what my problem was? Daydreaming the first 20 minutes of the lesson, and then I finally check in and go, I don't understand this. You know, I like come to. Story of my life. But see, she was just saying, with what I have, this is my request. God always deals with us according to where we are. Moses requested, he said, Lord, let me see your glory. I'm in a great place. I'm in a vantage point where you're speaking to me. The Creator was speaking to Moses. The people were afraid to even look up on the mountain and see that glory. He is in that glory cloud. And the Lord said, Tell you what, you can't see me. You can't see me when I pass by. But I'll put you in a cleft in the rock, and I'm going to have to cover your face because you can't see me. You can see the back of me, but you can't see me face to face. You'll die. The glory of God face to face with earthly man. Man dies. So, Moses, you don't know what you're asking for, but I'll let you see the back of me. That's a bold request right there. Lord, I'm not content with this, but I want the best gift that you can give me. I want you to give me something above what I'm asking and where I'm living right now. You talk about something that'll turn a church around. I'm kind of happy how the church is going, but I want to start seeing people get the Holy Ghost on a regular basis. Regular basis. To where instead of us saying who, we're just saying how many was it today? Wait on it. How many was it? Was it 15, 17? I want those kind of services where we're just wondering, how many was it? That one? Oh, I thought that one. They did? The whole family? Yes. Let's not be poverty level. I love our church. I love what we feel. I mean, it's the most awesome thing. I love when guests come and they're like blown away. Like, wow, I've got something going. Yes, God is moving. But I would be a terrible pastor if I built a monument right here and said, here we are. Let's just dwell here for a while. When Israel got comfortable, they'd be thinking, oh, we love this. They even went to a place called the place of the palms. Remember that? It was a place of the palms. I'm kind of thinking it had palm trees. It's better than desert any day. And they probably wish we could just stay here by the palms in the little pond over there. Wouldn't that be great just to stay here? Lord, just let us stay here. But you know, one morning they woke up and that column had moved. And they're like, oh, wait a minute. If you get over here, no, it's moving. It's moving. We got to move. They had to pack up. They got to follow the column. They had to follow the column. They had to follow that pillar and leave the palms. We love the palms, Lord. I love what we have here. I love it. But God is saying, that's all right, but there's more. There's more. Our worship is fantastic. Our praise singers, they worship. They're not just show pieces. They worship. You can feel that. Our musicians are worshiping. But God is saying, you need to ask for something higher than this. Don't just keep celebrating the celebration. But we got to ask for higher than this. The best gift is that one that he pours out on all flesh. He promised it. All I'm asking to do today, church, is I just want you to start letting out the clutch and shift into that other gear of let's go forward, because we're going to see greater things than these. We're going to see greater things than these. You ever notice when something is said like that, the Lord just kind of lets you feel something in here like, yeah, that's me. He says, that's me. I want you to know that. We're going to see greater things than these. The best gift is when God pours his Spirit out on a consistent basis. Salome was only able to see the earthly Jesus, but couldn't comprehend that he was Word made flesh, the very God of creation. So Jesus had to address her according to her understanding. He came to her level. That's a wonderful thing about God. He meets you where you are. He doesn't go up on a mountain and say, I know y'all can't see me, but you should have been watching when I left. No, he wants you to pay attention, and he will take us there. He's merciful like that. Salome was unaware of the coming outpouring of God's Spirit that would be the factor that determined to what degree anyone ascended in the kingdom. Once you have that, they've got God within. Here she's saying, let them sit beside you. And Jesus, he couldn't reveal everything to her right then, but I'm sure he would like to have said, listen, beside me isn't going to cut it. They're going to have me in them. And finally, he just said it to them. He said, you know what? Right now, I'm with you, but I will be in you. And in their earthly mind, they're thinking, how can that be, Lord? Instead of sitting beside you, you're going to be dwelling on the inside of us. That beats beside any day. He had something greater than this. Greater things than these shall you do. He said, because I go to my Father. What he was saying is, you're going to do things through power that is in you. You're not just going to watch miracles. You're going to be the miracle. Amen. Greater things, greater things. The best gift that God has for us today is that presence that we have being spread to others and people receiving it. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm just telling you it's going to happen. If we allow God to work humility in us, he'll do great things. Yes, amen. I can do great things for God if I humble myself. But if I get lifted up, I can't do anything for God. But if we humble ourselves, we can do great things. Our attempts to ascend, if we're not humble, will frustrate God's purpose. And when people frustrate God's purpose, in other words, where it just comes to naught, it doesn't do anything, they are the ones that get frustrated. And they'll try things to do things. It's always a bad idea when somebody decides to be a showman and try to show off in the presence of God rather than let God move through them. I'm not talking about saints, I'm talking about pastors. Get a crowd and try to entertain them. And that's a dead end. Because the glory is minimal. It's right there. It's just whatever that man can do. He better be able to talk good, sing good, play good, something, because it's not going to keep anybody. But see, when we become small, insignificant, and say, God, all the significant is you. It's all him. Church, it's all him. I couldn't do this without him. Not at all. Not at all. I could go pastor a church. I could. I could pastor. I could get some people. I could tell funny stories and probably have a little crowd. Maybe put tables out like a comedy club. You know, yeah, we could probably do that. But spiritually grow any at all? Yeah, forget it. No. And after a while, it'd just be a small crowd. Yeah. We've heard all that. We've been there. Same thing. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, right. This is every one of us. This isn't just ministry. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, as we go through a year, my wife and I, just as an example, I like this example. Pleasant memory. Went to New York, rainy most of the time. It was in October, bad weather, drizzle. That was when the famous bus ride that she tells people about. But anyway, we went to the Guggenheim Museum. I always wanted to go there. It is awesome. But even from the outside, it's crazy looking. It's a spiral. It looks like a cake. But on the inside, the way you view the art is you just start walking. And you just go around the perimeter in circles, and they just go a little higher each time you go around it. And it was amazing. But every time you make a complete revolution, you're higher than you were when you started. And that's what we do in God. We're not going down. We're not just on the same level, but we're ascending. And every time, every turn is a brand new wall you're looking. It's a brand new piece of art. It's a brand new glory of God. Every step we take, we're getting higher and higher and higher. That's where God wants to lead us. New things, great things in him. God began his story of redemption, of course, by choosing one man. And he chose Abraham, and he said, I want you to leave, and you're going to go to a land I'll show you. And all of the things he told Abraham he was going to do, he didn't get to do it through Abraham because it took somebody else. God's plan is a people, not a person. It's people. And you know, Abraham left everything and went there. And it was the challenge, you know, I don't have any kids. How am I going to do this? It's a walk of faith, total faith. And this is a faith walk. Amen. We understand that. But before we can affect many, before we can affect anybody, we must learn to be affected when we're alone with God. Abraham was alone with God and God affected him. We have to be affected by God in our alone times. We have to be able to pray to God in faith believing. Do we have to hear the audible voice of God? No. I've never heard an audible voice from God, but I have felt him speak to me, and I don't go off and here, let me tell you what all God told me. I'm going to be really, really sure it's God that said it, and I'm going to have proof that he said it because something's going to come to pass. Otherwise, I can just throw a bunch of stuff out and say, well, the Lord said, and I've heard people do this like as if they had a conversation with God in the booth at Chick-fil-A, and then here we are just talking back and forth, and it doesn't make sense. God doesn't have conversations like that with people. I'm sorry. It's an awesome thing if God speaks to us. But I'll tell you the way that is never fails. I open the book, and he's in there. And the more I read, the more I understand about God. The more I understand. Wife, you're buying your husband a birthday gift for him, a Christmas present, and you're not there at the mall or Target or Dick's Sporting Goods. It's your husband, I forgot. And you're going, if he could just somehow communicate telepathically through me, I think I could know what to get him. The reason you know what to get him is because you're married to him. You know him. You know him. You know what he's been talking about. He knew his birthday was coming up, and so he told you. It's not discernment. It's knowledge. You just know. You know, unfortunately, where there is this part of serving God, where and you know, preaching and ministering, where there are these spiritual gifts that people can operate in, there's always going to be the abuse of these things. And men will get on television and claim to operate in that gift and tell people, I don't know if they do this anymore or not, but now it's on YouTube and I get a kick out of watching some of them. Sometimes it's like comedy. And say, the Lord is saying to this, and he's telling you this and this and this, and you know, just general things, and hoping that they'll send a check and pay for another jet airplane or something like that. Not, you know, that's not a joke either. They do that. But they're just throwing things out there that are just so obvious. But really, we know already what God wants us to do. We already know. Now, I need him to speak to me. You need him to speak. You need that unction, that part where he just kind of, you know, there's some ways God's going to allow you to know it's him moving on you, and you'll feel led, and you may not hear an audible voice. It may not even be a voice in your spirit, but you're going to know what God wants you to do because he leads us and guides us into all the truths that we need in life. Amen. We know those things as we live for God in the Spirit. But before you're ever used by God, you've got to learn to put your trust completely in him. You've got to learn to trust him. In loneliness, you've got to be able to be alone by yourself and say, now, me and you, God, you've got to talk to me. I love corporate worship. This is where we get our power. This is where we get inspiration. But it's when I'm alone in my prayer closet. He said, when you have a need, you go in your closet, you shut the door, and you pray to God in secret. And the God that you pray to in secret will reward you openly. When you go out of the closet, then God is going to bless you because in your secret place you talk to him. Jesus said, I don't like you Pharisees. You stand on the street corner and you say these big words with long prayers with your fancy clothes so everybody will hear you. You got your reward. That's all you're getting. You're going home with nothing. But the ones in the prayer closet, the ones in there with the nobody's hearing them, nobody sees them, they're not doing it for show, they're going to be rewarded openly. Open rewards. And when I get my open reward, I don't say, you know why I got this? Because I pray all the time. You just missed your next one. God's merciful, but you get the point. Right. I realize that, you know, we really in life and in the church, we want to matter. I mean, does anybody here just really not want to matter? You know, I don't really care if I... No, we want to be a part of this. We want to be feeling like that our presence is needed. Amen. That's a good part of the kingdom of God. That's something we all share. But I want to make a difference. You want to make a difference. Amen. But first, God has to get us to see ourselves as we really are. What is it that motivates you? I've got to be honest with me and see who I am and say, all right, Lord, this is me talking to you. I can't make it without you. Every day, it's any day. I can't make it without you. Well, you want to matter, and perhaps you want to be used by God. Okay, that's a good one too. This is really... What Salome was saying is, I just want to matter. I don't know where all this is going. You realize where she was in history. It was about to unfold, and so she was there at the cusp. She didn't know to what great extent her sons were going to be used. So her request was normal, But we're on the other side. We know it. You didn't need to talk to him about that. It was going to happen. God's going to greatly, greatly use them, not only to spread the gospel, but to write wonderful things that everybody for ages is going to read. See, God may have to get us to see who we really are first and understand why we're desiring what we desire. So how do I do that? Well, I check myself. What is the motive of my desires? Why am I asking for this? Is it flesh or is it spirit? I need to check myself. Why am I really asking God for such a thing that I'm asking Him for? And that's just it puts us in the center of the lane. It's like when I drove a UPS truck, they said, to keep your truck in the center, always look further down the road. You aim way down the road. You don't look over the bumper or you're going to hit a telephone pole. Aim high-end steering, they said. And it worked. It worked. I remember the first time I had to go for my driving test. I'd never drove one of the trucks before because at Christmas they gave me a rental truck, so it was like a rider. And he goes, well, they brought me in to be working permanently and said, you got to go with the supervisor and you're going to do a little thing around the block and make sure you can drive this truck. And I thought, oh, no, I've never drove one of these trucks before. I thought we was going to be riding in maybe a rental. And I remember there's a guy on a bike riding right here on the side of the road, and I'm going over the bridge over like Highway 95 or something. And I remembered what they said, aim high. And I just looked as far down the road as I could, and I didn't hit him. Miracle of miracles. It works. It works. Aim higher than just my own pain, my own suffering. Lord, let me get my eyes on the prize. Before Paul preached to multitudes, God had to lead him out into the desert by himself for 2 years. Paul, look, you were there when Stephen was stoned. You held the coats of those that killed him. But Stephen died. But you slid right in his place. See, it took a Stephen to open the door for a Paul. But Paul had to go lose himself in the Arabian desert by himself, him and God. You ever wonder where he got all that knowledge? He got it out in the desert. Him and God. There wasn't any more Pauls. Apollos was a great preacher, great speaker, but he wasn't a Paul. He didn't have the revelations that Apostle Paul did. Paul just knew. He knew the law. He knew the Old Testament. And there's just knowledge that God gave him when he got alone with God. If I went back into that day, I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't want to be Paul. Let me be Simeon, one of the lesser knowns. I don't want to be boiled in oil, even if I am going to live. I don't want to be stoned, even if I am going to live. I don't want to be shipwrecked 3 times, even if I am going to live through it. But that's what the Apostle Paul went through. He paid the price. He paid the price. But oh, what a revelation that he had of who Jesus was. So in closing, I read just a short little paragraph of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel. He'd done many deeds. He'd killed 2 lion-like heroes of Moab. He'd gone down and killed a lion who went into a pit on a snowy day. I don't know. There's some people that just, they said, I don't care. I'm going to whoop a devil. I'm going to make life hard for the other team. They just got it in them. Love people like that. Love preaching like that. Amen. But God began his story of redemption by choosing Abraham and inviting him to leave all others and take that journey of faith. We remember that. We honor that. But from that day on, God began to use various men to do things, whether it was lead a country or just fight a battle and be a good example for somebody else to follow. And that really is a lot like the church today. You know, when you read about this man, he's not an Abraham. Benaiah was just a warrior. He was a great one of David's mighty men, just a great man. And I've thought about him and wondered, Lord, why in the world would one of these mighty men going to go down into a pit where he's clearly at a disadvantage and say, I'm just going to kill that lion? He could have been threatening people in the village. We don't know, but he decided to go in a pit and kill a lion. Maybe his roaring was keeping him up at night. I don't know. Or maybe he said, I'm going to go down in this pit. I'm not out in the wind and I'm not uncomfortable. So I'm going to go in the pit and just where it's warmer, except there's a lion down there. So, well, I have to kill him, but at least I'll be able to be warm. You know, whatever the attraction was of the pit, he didn't let a lion dissuade him from going down there. There's no lion going to stand in his way. He killed these two guys. They said it was lion-like men, probably just hairy-looking, scary characters that you'd want to run from. He ran toward them, killed them. So the lion really wasn't anything to threaten him, because he looked at it and said, I can conquer that. I've got the skill to kill a lion. One thing we know, lions are dangerous to people. Benaiah, though, was dangerous to a lion because he wasn't afraid to go down to where the challenge was at. See, he wasn't content to live on a level plane. He went deeper. And he didn't let that turn him away. We make commitments. That we're getting to the first of the year. We're going to make commitments. We're going to have a communion service. I'm looking forward to that. It's always a great time. We're going to have prayer here every night during our 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. I know you're not looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to fasting. If I was, something wrong with me. I like to eat like you. But we're going to be fasting and prayer. And I'm looking forward to that result and to that unity that it brings the church. Some greatest times we've ever had. And I know that all God is in every aspect of this. God is in it. But we're going to be challenged. This next year is going to be a different year, and God will challenge us. We'll be challenged. But when you attempt to start going deeper and say, Lord, I want to be at places I've never been with you, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be resistance. We got to conquer the lion-like men. To put it more clearly, we got to conquer that part of us that roars when we don't like what's going on, or that part of us that roars when we don't get our way. We've got to conquer self first, and then we got to conquer the exterior things, the external things that are threats, the things that would just turn us away. You know, we're sometimes very easily turned away. We'll vow things, we'll make resolutions, and just one little thing, once somebody shows up at the house, never mind, we'll put this off a day, and then it's another day, and I had good intentions. This guy, Benaiah, he had the intentions, and you didn't have to worry about him equivocating. Oh, are we going to do this or not? No, he just went in the pit and said, you're dead, lion. I think I'll drag your carcass back and show you to people. You've been keeping us up all night, every night, whatever it might be. Most of our desires are centered around the worship in the church. A lot of people like to be involved in the worship. I do. I love worshiping God. We're good at that here. But you know, there's no lions here. Is that great? It's a good atmosphere to do that. There's no lions here. We're not being threatened in our church. We don't have to worry about that. No, it's up here on the platform. It's pretty nice. Sitting there, it's pretty nice. We're good. We can do about what we want to do. And in leadership, you know, we've got good leadership in this church. I'm good. I'm glad with that. See, in the church, this is a safe place. It's all good here. It's once we say you're dismissed and we got into our life, our jobs, our families, our challenges, I don't want to let something turn me back. I want to set a mark and say, God, that's where I want to be and where I want to go. I want to go higher this year than I've ever gone before. I want to know things about you that I never knew before. I want to get into your word like I've never gotten into your word before. I want to kill the lion if he roars against me. I'll bring my trophy back and say, look what I did. I've never done this before. It may be simple things. It may be I'm going to read the Bible through. You may decide I'm going to memorize 2 or 3 scriptures a month. That'd be a great thing. But we need to get it on the inside of us and say, I'm never going to go back from where I'm going to be. I'm going to go forward and not turn back again. I've got to take up the challenge. There's a sure sign of fading evangelism is strife. And Lord, I want to avoid strife because it comes from envy. I want to avoid strife. I want to avoid it. Daniel heard about a petition against him. They said, Daniel, there's a petition. You pray again, and you're going to go into timeout. And he opened his windows, as he had done before, and prayed three times a day, knowing there was judgment. And them lions thrown down in there, hungry, they saw the feet of that prophet being let down. Oh, they could just, they knew what was going to happen. But what they didn't understand was God's going to shut their mouth, and he's going to not only come down here and not get eaten, he's going to sleep all night long. And you are going to lay down here with your stomachs growling. Why? Because he was a man that didn't let a petition stand in his way. I don't care what the rules are. That's just, he said, that's what we're going to do. As we stand in conclusion, the best gift, the best gift is God's Spirit in a humble heart. When we make room for God's Spirit in humility, the best gift is that indwelling presence of God. It can do anything when we humble ourselves, and then he lifts us up. When we pray, God moves and we become pliable. If I fail to pray, my flesh leads and causes me to miss my mark. That leads to frustration and disappointment. The flesh will insist on climbing upward to try to attain the lost position of strength. That's just our flesh. It wants its way. It wants power. But it only makes the problem worse. The way up will always be, whether you kneel or stand, it's talking to God, because he's the one up there where I need to ascend. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing this.